So today we're going to talk about cussing, cursing, the language.
I was reading the Bible. There's a part of us that, man, you wouldn't want to say it in front of a pastor because you know that there is something sinful in about the way that we use words.
So I'm not going to judge him for the adjective that he's using. However, I would judge you for that using that adjective.
Right. I would say just because like that word in and of itself is not a sin doesn't mean that it's wise or that it's good.
Hello again. Welcome to the Sunday Huddle. As always, so grateful to be sponsored by Sports World. They allow us to be able to do what we do. And again, as always, joined by Nathan and Brian. How are we doing today, fellas?
Doing wonderful.
Yes.
I am doing well.
Well, man, we're so excited about that.
I'm so glad. Speaking of how well I was doing, I was reading in Job, and it actually—
I think it's Job is how it's pronounced.
It could be Job. Okay. I was reading a verse that reminded me of you, so I just wanted to share it real quick.
No.
His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And I didn't realize you were in the Bible, 500 of you to be exact. And I wasn't sure how you got in there. I knew you were pretty old, but this is pretty crazy.
So today we're going to talk about cussing, cursing, language.
I was reading the Bible.
You were reading the Bible. It's just awful. Nathan. It just is awful. Right?
How many translations did you look through to try and find the right one?
Way too many.
Well, I wonder what the Message rendered that passage. How's the Message? Did you read how the Message renders that?
No, it didn't have any good words in there. Not like stinking.
I'm sure they didn't. So we're going to talk about our language, about cursing. What is cursing like? Yeah, I mean, what does the Bible have to say about that? So I will just say, and he said not to mention his name. I'm going to do it anyway because he rarely watches now. But my son Graham, I was talking to him a little bit today. I was talking to Steve today at the gym a little bit about cursing. And I said this, and I said, what do you think about your friends? You know, he's in a locker room, right? Football locker room, all your friends, the language you use, cussing. I said, do you think cursing, do you think your friends think that cursing is a sin? And he said, yeah, I don't think that they question whether cursing is a sin. They just downplay it.
Hmm.
It's just downplay.
I like to do that with my sins too.
What is that?
I like to do it with my sins too.
Yeah, same, right? So he said, I don't think any of them would doubt that it is when he said, but that's, you know, it's not a big deal. It's something that we downplay. I thought that was kind of an interesting observation, right?
Right.
I don't think there's many that are Christians here. And maybe we have unbelievers that watch us too. We're so glad you're here. They're unbelievers. I don't think there are many believers that would say it's okay, would they? Any that you've come in contact with, youth pastor?
Oh, plenty. I would actually say, yeah, I think plenty.
Yeah.
Especially young, just the younger generation, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's
honestly
true. Dadgummit is a cuss word as far as I was concerned.
I think attention. I think there's a lot of people that would would say that it's okay. Now, I think once you get into the conversation of is it wise, then maybe that number starts to get a little bit smaller. But I think there's plenty that would say, yeah, it's fine. It's the intent behind it. If you say heck or frick or whatever, it's the exact same thing because you're using it in the same way as the words that I would use. Not me, but the way that person's talking. You know?
Yeah.
I would agree.
You think there's some that would say cussing is not a sin? It does in other ways. And don't take an opportunity to make fun of me or anything like that. So this is probably a generational thing that's going to be make more evident. Go ahead, though.
Right. I would agree that people know inherently. It's kind of like, I don't remember who it was that you said that, you know God's real or whatever. That was just the line. It's like, I don't know. No, you know. Well, yeah. The same thing when it comes to cussing. People know that it obviously does not reflect those that are saved in the sense that they don't say it in front of little kids because they know it's offensive. like there's a part of us that, man, you wouldn't want to say it in front of a pastor because you know that there is something sinful in about the way that we use words. And so that's where I would say that even those that say it's not that big of a deal, they would definitely not say it in front of everybody.
Yeah, so why do we modify our behavior? That's a good question, right? So if it's not wrong, why would we talk differently in front of, you know, Pastor Nathan? Seriously, why would kids? No, I mean, I think that your kids would
have
that,
to laugh, right? When he said that.
I'm sorry. It was involuntary.
But so I'm guessing, I would wonder youth camp, you know? How often do we hear this kind of language at youth camp? Or our kids are great. Our kids would never curse. Not one of them would ever curse or do anything inappropriate ever.
I definitely do not correct students weekly for sure. Sarcasm. I mean, all the time, actually. All the time.
Yeah.
Now, part of that is just you have lots of students who, like a camp or even just on a normal Wednesday or Sunday too, students who would not call themselves Christians, were not raised in any kind of church environment, don't know anything about the Bible. They're just coming there to hang out with their friends. So that kind of language is in use. But again, I think that there's a lot of, like with younger generations and stuff, there's a lot of, they would lean heavily onto, hey, the words themselves are not sinful. It's the intent behind it. So if I use a word that our culture or that the old heads have said is a cuss word now or whatever, if I use one of those words, but it's in a playful way, it's in a funny way, even in a building, hyping someone up, building them up kind of way, then it's acceptable and it's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
You probably are going to use Ephesians 4:29.
Go ahead.
Why don't you read that?
I don't have Ephesians 4:29 as one of my verses. Why don't you read your 4? Oh, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. It says that we shouldn't do that. But only such which is good for building up, it says, right?
Right.
So that's pretty all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that we're supposed to, in the way that it's given, right? That let no unwholesome or corrupting talk come out of your mouth. So that means that we're supposed to let none of that ever come out. And then it goes on, but only such which is building up and fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So really kind of a universal statement for me. We shouldn't have any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. And then we, because it's only instead, here's what you should do instead, build up.
Right.
And then finally, because it gives grace to those who hear. There's the result of it.
Right.
Remember we talked a little bit before about often we give what you should do rather than the motivation behind it as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to be very, very careful to do that. I think that verse does that. Do you interpret it for you in a different way?
That corrupting or unwholesome, that word, the Greek word sapros, means rotten, decaying, or harmful. And so the question then is the speech harmful? And so then you would go into what is considered like unwholesome if you're going to go with that. What's considered harmful? So we look in the Bible and
you say unwholesome mean words to Nathan and I all the time.
All the times. So one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Elijah is talking to the priests of Baal and he uses a literal potty joke at talking about, oh, maybe be a little bit louder. Baal can't hear you. He's relieving himself. Like, that's pretty funny. So we can, but it's, so I mean, that's quote unquote crude, or even Paul when he's using the word rubbish or menstrual rags, or like that's considered crude, but it's not considered harmful. So my question is like with this corrupting thing, it depends on necessarily who your audience is. And I'm not, again, saying be all things to all people. And I'm not saying that that's something that we should necessarily like jump in on and start dropping F-bombs left and right. But simultaneously, there are aspects that you could look at this where it depends, like the younger people that are trying to justify it, you can see where at least a different angle that they're going with.
So when Nathan gets fired as his job as a pastor, because his students said, I watched your podcast and one of your Sunday school teachers justified cussing, what is going to be your response when you leave your job with your new baby?
I'm going to say, I didn't see it that way.
right.
Yeah.
But I love
the distinction you make there.
Good. Being the all things to all people, though, aspect. So like a joke can build trust. It can establish a deeper relationship. It will disarm pride in certain people. And it also sometimes jokes, as you can tell, like it opens the door to truth. So there are benefits that can come from some of these, not necessarily cussing, but quote unquote crude or unwholesome talk. There can be benefits from it that the younger person who's trying to say, I don't see it. I can see where they get there.
You give your answer. I like your observation. That's an interesting observation. I disagree with it, but go. I like an interesting observation. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that kind of what you're saying, Brian, points to me that the words themselves are not what make it sinful, like the four-letter word. And Jeff, I don't know, you might disagree on that. Like just simply stating that word is not what makes it sinful, because that is just changes drastically over time from culture to culture and context to context, I think, like what is considered a profane word and what is not and the way that's used and all that stuff. But it's the intent behind it. So then to the person who would say, well, if you're saying a different word instead of the F word, or whatever, then you mean the same thing,
right?
Then I would say, you know, yeah, I mean, correct. I think that that is the intent behind it, kind of remains the same if it's being used in a, like you said, in a malicious way, in a tearing other people,
right?
Tearing other people down. But what do you think, Jeff, as far as like the words themselves?
I think so. This is going to sound different than what most of our audience has heard me say on certain things. I think that morals are absolute. I think they're absolutely right or absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the scriptures point to certain things where it says that because a culture doesn't accept a certain thing, it therefore is wrong. I even think of the commandments that are given to women where they're supposed to cover their heads. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not a principle that endures to today because it's a cultural custom, not a scriptural mandate. And so what we do is we take the principle that's there and we map that over the culture that we have today. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you're right. Maybe a word that didn't mean what it meant now didn't mean something 40 years ago, but it's okay. We're called to adapt to the culture and to change the words and to use the right words that reflect what the culture would perceive that they were doing. And I think it's beyond just how it's going to be perceived. I think it kind of regulates our behavior. Right. I think that it should regulate our speech. And I think a good way to know whether or not this is just something that's cultural custom is or a scriptural mandate is you might say it to a kid, but would you say it to Pastor Dave?
Right.
And if you wouldn't, well, what's that check there? That's not allowing you, as you observed, that's not allowing you to do that. Now, you don't have a filter.
Yeah, I wouldn't
use it as an example. That's actually a poor example. Yeah, right. It is a terrible example, but that your filter doesn't catch. But we have this language that we use. I think of a locker room, again, growing up in a locker room, that language was used. And so, and I think that people, different people have different accountability for the language they use. Mm. I share this story a little bit, and you've said it a couple of times, but I preached a sermon at a prison one time, and a guy gave his life to Christ. Yield his life to Christ, came up to me afterwards, and he said, pardon me, he said, that's the best blanking speech I've ever heard. Right? And he cussed, all right? He cussed.
Oh, I thought he said blanking.
Yeah. Which is a terrible word. It's called the B word. But he did this. He said this word, and he did it. I didn't rebuke him.
Right.
Right? He doesn't have full understanding of that. He was using it as an adjective. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to judge him for the adjective that he's using. However, I would judge you for that using that adjective, right? So I think that there's a different even setting, and I would judge him 5 years from now if he was using word, right? So I think that there's a way that we need to grow. I think it can't be any unwholesome talk that comes out of our mouth, and I think what we say really, really matters.
Right. And I think one of the things that I think, regardless of if you're trying to say cussing's cool or whatever, which I'm not necessarily saying is accurate, what I am
saying—
not saying that. No, that we have to make sure that the words that we use are not celebrating sin, are degrading image bearers, are training the heart towards impurity and impure thoughts, and that we are making sure that we're like restraining our words with love and wisdom, and that sure, like, that we're clothing it in that type of things. And so I think using the example you had, new believer,
yeah,
is like, that's something that I would say that's not a sin. I would say that is something where it just happened. And I don't hear what I'm not saying.
I know what you're saying.
That.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because like, man, there's a long way. Sanctification is a long process. And when you're just fresh off it, you don't even necessarily know that that's something. I gotta work on these habits. This involuntary stuff.
I think we're probably far more casual in our speech than we should be.
I would agree.
Than the scriptures would allow.
That's a better
way of putting it. I was giving marital counseling to a couple, long time ago, a number of years ago. The wife was using hurtful language toward her husband, not necessarily cussing, but just hurtful language toward her husband. I said, wait a minute, now let's stop here. Let's pause here. You're using those words. I don't think you should use those words. And she said sarcastically, so I have to just sit here and think about every single word before I say it. And it was said sarcastically, right. And to which I responded, yes, right? That's the answer what I'm talking about. So right now what you're saying is this may even seem unachievable.
Right.
So wait a minute. I've got to think about Ephesians 4 says. There's, right. Gives me the reason for it, right? It gives me the epistemology, the reason it's happening, the that which undergirds it, right? I have to think about what I say because it builds other people up. That seems like a lot of work, but I do think that's what the scriptures have called us to do.
Right.
That we need to be careful that every word that proceeds out of our mouth, we're going to give an account for one day.
Right.
And we need to be careful what we say.
Yeah. I think cultural context matters a lot, which we kind of already talked about a little bit, but I think it goes deeper. When we think cultural, we think of, okay, for us, like here in America, whereas maybe in the UK, maybe cussing is a little bit more acceptable or something or other places. But then I think that there's like smaller cultures within our broader culture. So you said like what you would say to around your pastor or like around your children or something. So I think that's fair, but that's like the micro culture kind of within that. And then like the way you would talk maybe with your spouse, not in a degrading way, but the way you talk with your spouse might be different than the way you would talk with your friend group. The way you talk with your friend group might be different than the way you would talk if your friend group wives are present.
Right.
So then what about like someone who would say, well, hey, there's different like I understand what you're saying with the cultural thing, and it's not the words that are sinful. I understand I shouldn't use the words to degrade or anything like that, but they're just a part of my vocabulary and joking and uplifting things, not tearing stuff down, and only used within a cultural context in which that is acceptable with friends who feel the same way. Then what would be the thought like? What's the issue?
I love every bit of that. I love every bit of that. But you have to notice the 12 antecedents that preceded the question.
Right.
He gave a beautiful.
It's like 10 and a half.
You gave this beautiful structure where perhaps I might allow for us as believers, I'm going to still say that, you know, and y'all would too. So we're kind of joking about this. There are certain words that you just don't need to say.
Right.
There's certain words that you shouldn't say, and you shouldn't do that. But for me, it's going to be I want to be the highest standard. I want to hold the highest standard for all of my language and all that I do. And I want to be careful. If I wouldn't say it to Nathan or Brian or Pastor Dave, I probably shouldn't say it to anybody.
Right.
I shouldn't use that kind of language or casual. Now, which is the next question and kind of what I wanted to move into, you know. So what if you have an unbelieving friend that uses foul language, awful language? What's going to be your response? I know as a youth pastor that you have to regulate it kind of for the benefit of the group.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. But if you just say, you know, a young man, and you took him out for coffee just to, after church, just to visit with him a little bit, and he's foul language, and he's an unbeliever. Right. What would your response be? What would you do?
Right. That's a great question. I would say for me, it doesn't bother me as much. I would for sure say if being around people that are constantly cussing causes you to cuss a lot, you should probably check yourself on that. There should be conviction with you in there. I think that there are certain things. Again, if you're getting offended and they're dropping a lot of GDs and things like that, and it's really offending you, or they're idolizing women or using them in that, like those kind of things, I think that it is appropriate, even as a believer, not in a fuddy-duddy way, but just saying like, hey, I don't care what you talk like that, but can you try to not do it around me?
Yeah.
Like you can do something like that, and if someone's a bad word and doesn't want to adhere and respect that with you, probably do need to change your playground.
Yeah. Well said. I'll let Nathan answer the question too. But for me, my kind of hot take is that probably with an unbeliever, it would take a lot.
Right.
It would take a whole lot for me to say, hey, listen, man, you shouldn't. Yeah. I never in my locker room. Hey, fella, let's watch our language, guys. You know what I mean? Right. That wasn't something and which would not serve to endear me to them. It would alienate me from them.
Right.
And I don't mind being alienated for the right things.
Right.
For claiming the claims of Christ. But for something like that, for an unbeliever, why am I going to hold them to the standard of the
right?
Why am I going to hand it to Stoneham or whatever? So youth kid. So I know that maybe two different groups, right? So you got a kid that's using foul language at the church. You're going to address that.
Yeah, so at the church, it would be a hey, we're not gonna talk like that here. Yeah. Here's why, like the quick little two sentence version on that. But then if it's we're out in a like one-on-one context type thing, honestly, even with a student, it's gonna be similar to what you said. It's gonna take a little bit. If I know they're a non-believer, it's gonna take a little bit for me to like want to address it. Unless it's a student who I'm, hey, we're talking because of you're talking like this a lot with the group or whatever.
Yeah. Good caveat.
I want to recognize that, and especially for students, I think all of us, but especially for students, I think that it's hard to, their mind starts to run down the track of, oh, I need to fix this, and this first, and then like I'll be good enough for God kind of thing, which is not true. So I wouldn't address it necessarily in a one-on-one conversation if they say something like that. They might tell from my face.
Yeah, right.
Because I wouldn't want them to be perceiving it that way. Now, certainly, I mean, if a believer, hey, we're not going to, man, why are we talking like that? What's the thing? So it's interesting that you, like, I really did not expect that it would surprise you, Jeff, that there were lots of, like, Christians who are, like, cussing Christians. Like, right. I mean, a lot, right? That would say that no, it's fine, and we'll give a scenario kind of like I just said. Like, yeah, I'm not going to say that around my friends' kids and stuff, but with my other friends who are believers, and if I just use like language, like different words, what helps drive a point or something or make something funny, but it's not in a way that is demeaning or degrading or belittling anything like that, then it is not. It's not a big deal. Now, my thought process on it with that is, because I do know plenty of people that would take that, would have that stance. And almost all of them, I would say, I don't want anybody to feel called out, but maybe. almost all of them, I would say, if that's the stance, well, we're still called to practice wisdom and discernment.
Right.
Right. and maybe you're not doing it the best a lot of times, almost all of them. Well, then it spills out from my experience. Those who lean heavily into, like, I'm one of the cussing Christians, there's not a lot of wisdom and discernment at times with who they do that around.
Right.
They almost like want to seek out the argument with the Christian that's going to say, hey, you shouldn't talk like that. They're like, I was waiting for someone to say that. Let me explain to you why I'm right and why I can do this.
So the example of the prison guy I used, it was an adjective that he used that he probably didn't even know that he used it. Right.
Right.
But it's interesting to me. My last year in the CFL was a kind of a chaplain for the team. And I'd walk into a room with several of the players, offensive linemen, they're using foul language, and they would say something like, and I'd never said anything to them. Watch your mouth, Jeff's coming in here.
Right.
Well, why is that my presence here? I've never said anything about the way you talk or the way you do.
Right.
But they kind of know what they stand for. And they kind of intuitively knew that this wasn't the right behavior for someone who claimed to be a Christian, right?
Right.
So even the unbeliever knows that.
Right. I would completely agree. And I think that, again, sin can't be in the presence of God. And I think that there's an aspect of, and you don't want to be like holier than thou.
You don't want to
be like a pharisaical person who's like, this is a legalistic way and you can't do this. But at the same time, like you said, we are lights in this world. So even in your group of believers, the Bible makes it very clear, like, all right, if I'm so comfortable saying, dropping F-bombs left and right, like, why? Like legitimately, yep. The Bible teaches very clearly multiple times, like in James, about how we need to control the tongue, bridle the tongue, and specifically also like the out of the mouth is an overflow of the heart.
Wow. Yeah.
We are not, I mean, yeah, we're to be held above reproach. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to be finding something in this world that is more life-giving than that. And part of dying to self is to be separate from culture. If you look a lot of the Levitical law, it was about being very distinct our culture. Yeah. And if you look at all the culture that's out there, cussing is everything. And the things that they allow in movies now versus where they did 20, 30 years ago, it's like, oh, I can't believe they said that word. This is PG. Right. But and as light and salt, like we are to make sure that we are above reproach in that. And again, I'm not trying to cast stones at people, but at the same time, like you, Christian, like why do you feel the need to cuss all the time? Like that's something, like check yourself on that. Like why do you need to, like do you think that that is wholesome? Do you think that that's becoming? And so.
And to think about what we say. To process what we say, because do I have to think about every word that I say before I say it? Yes, you do. Yeah, you're required to do so. That it gives a witness of who we are. And then just real quick, we'll touch on the last point of that it's an overflow of who we are. I'm going to tell you this, and it's interesting. And people who are good at interviews, like when they interview people for jobs and stuff like that, you will get to know a person by letting them talk.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a person talk enough and you're going to figure out kind of who they are. As much as the heart, the mouth speaks, and they're going to be able to do that. So when this kind of language is just casual language to them in the context, in certain contexts, it kind of says something about them. We're able to know more about them just by the words that they speak.
Yeah, I think so. And that, again, just kind of goes back to the many times if you take the stance of like, hey, the Bible doesn't give us this list of these words that we can't say,
which
I agree. It doesn't. But wisdom and discernment have to be practiced with that. Just because something like I would say, just because like that word itself in and of itself is not a sin, doesn't mean that it's wise or that it's good. So then we shouldn't do it, right? And then we should seek to avoid it. And I was thinking like, are there any contexts? Because with our alcohol episode, right, it was, okay, well, we said drinking alcohol is not a sin. And I would say the word itself is... the word itself maybe is not a sin. So then the question Brian pressed you hard on, well, is there a setting where someone could drink alcohol then? And then if I was thinking like, well, what if that was asked, like flip that around then,
over the words? Yeah.
What if it was like with words? And I was thinking like, so an example where I would say, where maybe it could be used. I'm not talking again. There's different words.
Right.
There's some words I don't believe you can say it without it being degrading in some way because of the definition of the meaning of what, right. what it is.
Right.
But he's more, so good at getting qualifiers.
More direct, but where I could use more direct and harsh language would be, let's say I'm sitting down with you or with Brian.
Yeah.
And man, I have recognized as a brother to brother, man, there's a sin in your life that like I'm recognizing that I feel like you're overlooking and it's a big deal. And I want to make sure that you're hearing me and understanding like, dude, this is a problem. You're ignoring it. You have to address it. My language is going to be much more direct and much more, for lack of better terms, offensive than I would use in other contexts because, hey, I want you to see the seriousness of this. Not in a demeaning, belittling you kind of way, but like, hey, there's certain words you throw it out there and it pierces through things and it gets attention.
So that scenario, you probably find a way that you should justify it, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking like a time that you can say things. Let's say you have a newborn, it's the middle of the night, they're crying, you're ready to get the bottle warming, you're sitting there walking around, you hear that, oh, something else is going on, you got to go run and do that.
Process what you say
before
you say
it, please. And then you stub your toe.
Okay.
I think that times things can slip.
Okay. That's not what he said. So that's not
example,
at all what he said.
But that's a good example of why I think if our stance is we can say it in the proper context and the proper things and not in the improper ones, is we're going to ingrain that in ourselves to where when I do that in the middle of the night, that is going to come out.
Right.
Because out of the overflow of the mouth, comes the heart, right? Flows out of the mouth.
Yeah, so that would go against your reason. You said actually for intentional reasons. I would say
I'm holding a bowling ball with the baby. Drop the bowling ball after I stub my toe on it.
I would say you could get the same effect with tone and volume.
Sure,
that would not be necessary for the words. Yours would actually point to that of the abundance of your wicked heart. The mouth speaks, and I know you made this case, and you did it before we the podcast. It's okay to cuss at a Cowboys game. I'm going to tell you, dude, that's not okay. It's still not okay.
It's not okay to watch. Watching them this season.
it's not okay. So I mean, our caution, this kind of, as always, what a beautiful kind of nuanced conversation, you know? I stand on one side and you're pro cussing. And so that's kind of a different take that we do think that, just kind of as I've finished it, we do think that having a relationship with Christ should affect it the way that we speak.
100%. You know?
It's interesting. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And so when we're and he's given this beautiful metaphor that when we're drunk with wine, that it affects the way you think, it affects the way you walk, and it affects the words you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your tongue, the words that you speak. People that are nice to be around, they're under the influence of alcohol. It affects the way they think, walk, and speak. And he says instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then what he's saying is, let the Spirit affect the way you think, the way you walk, and the way you speak. If we know Christ, we ought to talk differently than other people. Our language ought to be different. We ought to think about what did we say, and we ought to give glory for that today. Give God glory for that today. Thank you for joining us, guys.
Yep. At the end of the day, I mean, like you said, pure speech overflowing from a pure heart.
Right? Yeah.
That's the goal, 100%. Amen. 100%. Amen. Well, hey, thank you for listening today. Wherever you are listening, we would love if you would make sure you like, subscribe, leave a review, all of those things. It definitely helps us as we seek to push this out to more people. And also down in the description, you'll find a link that says Win Free Sports World Merch or something along those lines.
Yep.
And you can click on that link there, and you might be the lucky winner of some free Sports World merch. But thanks for listening.
Peace!